Welcome everyone, and those of you learning Daf Yomi who are studying as an Eshech, I wish you atzlacha, because it's only 2 weeks that you have to spend on it, and Hilchos Ribbis is Mali Begadush. I especially feel for those who give shiurim in Daf Yomi, because if people are going to extrapolate from the Gemara to Halacha Lamaisa and ask a Magachir of a Daf Yomi, the answer will generally be L'chaira. It would seem so, because Ribbis is quite complicated. It's a very specialized field, even among Rabbanim. And I was fortunate enough to put out a Ribbis book a number of years ago, and therefore I get feherd all the time. People call me with shaylas, and that has helped me know just a little bit about it. I'd like to share with you some yedias in Hilchos Ribbis. And in Perek Ezel Neshech, I've spoken there previously as Baruch Hashem, generally given a Shirim Papula Deraisa. I'd like to be Mishan a little bit. I'd like to start with a type of Chakira that I normally would speak about the entire time, but I'd like to cut it a little short and give you some ideas, some klolim principles in Yesaidis and Hilchos Ribbis afterwards. The Chakira I'd like to begin with is the question regarding the overall concept of Hilchos Ribbis, and for lack of a better phrase, to declare whether Hilchos Ribbis is a Chayshim Mishpat Dikadin or Yaradeya Dikadin. Whether we should look at Chayshim Mishpat as Dine Maminis, as a Shaila and Dine Mamin, just as Gezela and Einoah and Baltolin. So this too, maybe it's a Chayshim Mishpat Dikadin. It's a din in taking money that you're not entitled to. Is there any difference if I steal your money or if I take it under the excuse of Ribbis, but I'm not entitled to? The Torah doesn't let me. Or is it a Yaradeya Dikadin? On the other hand, Ribbis is different in that the person giving the money gives it willingly. And perhaps, Alpidina Chayshim Mishpat, it's totally mine. Is a halach in Dini Yisavahatar, just like if a pot is treif, I have to kasher it. If food is treif, I have to throw it out. If money is treif, it's ribbistik of money, I have to give it back. But maybe it has nothing to do with Chayshim Mishpat. Now this klar is in the Binyan Tzion, in the Maramokim, which I had given out. Binyan Tzion is not machriya. The Binyan Tzion klar is whether someone who gets an esrig as a ribbis payment can consider that esrig to be lochem, consider it to be his. Is it his or it's not his? If it's a gagazelta esrig, then it's not his. If it's not considered gezela, just in the yis of the heter, so then it would be his. He declares in the taich of lochem, what sits this also has to be, lecha has to be yours, he declares this shayla. Now, what's the obvious raya if it's a Chayshim Mishpat Dikadin or Yaradeya Dikadin? What? Where is it? The obvious raya should be, where is it? It's in Yaradeya. So that would seem to be that it's Yaradeya Dikadin. Okay, 1 second. You're right. 1 second. In Yaradeya, Kufnun Tes is the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis. It only talks about whether you're allowed to lend Ribbis to a guy in Kufnun Tes. The Torah starts with Kuf Samach the following. Ribbis hayol v'asal yadon neimo b'milsa. Very strange beginning. No, ribbis hayol v'asal yadon. Since we're talking about it, so let me tell you of art, and it keeps on going forever with this neimo b'milsa. So why did he start ribbis hayol v'asal yadon neimo b'milsa? So the Bach says, l'fisha Rambam kosev dinei ribbis bilchus malva v'leiva. The Rambam put it in Chayshim Mishpat. So what's it doing here? The Torah didn't do this. He put it into Yaradeya. Since this part of Yaradeya talks about Dinei Akum, it talks about Bishul Akum beforehand and Cholav Akum beforehand and Dinei of Hanhaga with a guy. So once he was talking about Dinei Akum, he continued with Dinei Akum. So it's interesting that the Bach teaches the Torah that it's not a Yeridea Dikadin. It's a Yeridea sort of by mistake. Ah, Derech Agav, he put it in. Now, we know in the Gemara, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or Ravina Ravashi rather, do it all the time. Something comes up, so they go off on a tangent. It's not the style usually in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch this way. But as I teach the Bach, that's how he teaches this up. He seems to be saying that it's a Chesha Mishpat Dikadin. Now it's correct, someone pointed out there's a Gemara near the beginning of the Perek that the Eilam learned already at the beginning of his Aneshech, Tafyemi. No, so you remember it from 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm a real Lamdin, they gave me a Zvachim Gemara here to give Shir on Hilchas Ribis with Masech Zvachim. But that's okay. But the Gemara Taka asks why you need a Pasik for Gezela and a Pasik for Ribis. Ribis is not the same as Gezela. So the Gemara Taka seems to say that it's a Chayshe Mishpat din, that it's a din in Dide Chayshe Mishpat. The Nafkamina has to do with the Chiyuv to pay back. What the obligation to pay back is, if it's a Chayshe Mishpat din, Ribis Deirai, so you have to pay back. If someone got Ribis Deirai, it's Mechayiv to give it back. Ribis Rabbanan, you're not Mechayiv. Shaila is whether that Chiyuv is a Chayshe Mishpat din to give back or not. And as I'll show you, this is actually a Machlokes Rishayim, and a Machlokes Hapoiskim, and each Mahalach has clearly some who hold that way. The Raya from the Gemara is on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, Lokach Ribis Ktsutsa V'meis. The case there about someone who took Ribis Ktsutsa and he died. The Gemara says that Ein Abonim Tzrichin Lachzar, except the Dover Mesuyim, there are certain things of Kovet Aviyim they have to give back. But generally, the children don't have to pay back Ribis Tzutza that belongs to their father that they took from their father. So the question is why it should be that way. Why should it be that they don't have to give back? If it's a Chayshim Mishpat Tikadin, so Chayshimish, but you have to give back. If a father owed money, then the children, if the father left karka, there's a difference between Dina de Gemara, you can learn whole Shas and not know this. The Din of Shas is that if the father died, he owed money. Only if he left karka do the children have to pay the father's chayv. It doesn't matter if it's a chayv al peh, chayv bishtar. If the father left karka, the children have to pay. The Takanas HaGa'aynim, that when Naik Halach Lamaisa, that any time the father left a net plus value, he left more assets than debt, or equal amount, the children have to pay. So the question is, why is Ribis different? Why by Ribis, if the father leaves money, why don't the children have to pay? It says, Ein Tzrichin Lachzar, that they don't have to pay back except for one case, as in the Gemara. So it seems to be a shtarka raya that it's not a Chayshim Mishpat Tikadin. It doesn't go to it, it's Chayshim Mishpat. That Ribis is given willingly, and since it's given willingly, it's a Yeridea Tikadin, it's an Isser. The father has Dina Isser to give it back. The father died, he didn't get a chance. Finished. The money, though, is really his money. And this Raya is actually in the Ritva. The Ritva, the new Ritvas, he says it back on Samach Aleph. He says the following, and this is the Lashonei of the Ritva. Tvias ribis loy have a kshar tvia begezel oinav kiyaitzabai. It's the Varma for Rashim in the Ritva. It says, ribis is not like gezela oinav. Disle al chavei reshibid mamin. It's not like them. Elachiyav hu shechayav hatayra lahazer iser. That it's something that a person has to give back as dini yisav ahetar. It brings a raya from the Gemara on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amid Beis. You can have it right in the beginning. Teida, the Rabbi Yechonon Sava Ribis Ktsutza Eini Yaitzah B'Dayanim. So Machloikas in the bottom of Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Rabbi Yechonon Rabbi Loza, if Bezdin could be mechayiv you to pay back Ribis Ktsutza. Now we pass like Rabbi Loza. We pass and you have to pay back Ribis Ktsutza. But Zakhtar its father is a man the armor of the Gemara, Rabbi Yechonon, that Ribis Ktsutza Eini Yaitzah B'Dayanim. So he says from there to Raya that it's not a Chayshim Mishpat Tikadin. It's not a regular Chayv Mamin. And he brings a second Raya. He says, V'gam, L'divrei HaKoyel emeis bono peturim. Derived from some of Beis. That K'divrei HaKoyel emeis bono peturim. So the Ritva says, and there seems to be a klara raya, that Ribis Tairaisa is not a chi of Tashlum like a Zeila, I know, ki Yaitzabam. It's not a Chesha Mishpatika din. It's a din Isser. Just like there are other Isurim in the Tairah, there's an Isser Ribis. But it's not Bam is a din in a Chesha Mishpatika din. The Dogel Meravava in the Zagois, and Simakuf Samach Aleph, Sivav, declares the reverse. If the loiva died, if you have to pay back, he's mesupik. If the loiva died, somebody took ribis. If the loiva died, he has yarshin. He's mesupik if you have to give it back or not. That's also a raya. It's not a chayshim mishpatik adin. Chayshim mishpatik adin. What's a shayla? If you owe someone money and he dies, you give his yarshin. How could there be a clare if you have to give back ribis tzutza with the loiva died? So it's Dvar Berurim, the Ritva, it couldn't be clearer than the Lashon HaRitva. And the Dogel Ravava seems to hold that way. That Ribis is a Chayshim Mishpatikadin. That Ribis is not a Chayshim Mishpatikadin. It's a Yaradei Adikadin. It doesn't go through with the Halachis of Hashavas Gezela, etc. And this is one Shita in the Rishayim, the Ritva. There's a Raya Fakert from a Taisvis in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and I'll read you the Lashon of Taisus. Taisus Lashon also seems to be very clear, but the other way. Afal Gav Dimidas Nostam Loi. Even though Ribis is given willingly, Isnehu Gabei B'Teres Gezela. The person who holds Ribis money is holding it B'Teres Gezela. The Havak Nesina B'Tos. It's as if he received it, someone gave it to him by mistake, like, I know, you got it for toss. The loinosan l'shei matana. The giver didn't give it to him as a gift. Ela b'teres ribis. Umikri gezela be'enei, kivan shahamois be'en. Considered like gezel be'en, since the money is be'en. And memela, he says that there's a, it's like dine gezela. Like I said, it's devarim berurim, that there's a sheet in the Rishayim each way. So we have a machlaikas the Ritva and Samach Aleph, and Taisus over there, and they seem to argue klar, the Ritva holds it's Yeredei Adikadin, and Taisus holds that it's a Chayshim Mishpatikadin. L'chayr, there's a second makar for a machlaikas Rishayim. The Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchas Malva V'Loiva Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet declares if someone receives ribis and uses it to be Mekadosh Anisha. If someone gets ribis and he gives his Mekadosh Anisha with it, is she Mekudeshes or not? Which L'chayr is our Shaila. You got ribis money. If it's a Chayshim Mishpatikadin, it's money you have, Shalai Kadin. So it's like Gezel. You can be Mekadosh Anisha with Gezel. If it's Yaradei Dikadin, then in Dine Moment it's yours. It just failed in Dine Yisr. But then the Kedushin will be a good Kedushin. Mishlom Melech brings a Rabbeinu Yeruchim who says, Mekadish Meribis Ketsutza Eina Mekudeshes She'eina Shaloi. That's his Lashon. He holds that it's not his. He holds like it's a Chayshim Mishpatikadin, like Taisus Shita. However, when we were learning Kedushin, we saw that the Ritva on Kedushin Davov says Fakeret, says Mekudeshes, which is Geshmak L'shitasai. The Ritva holds that Ribis is only a Yaradei, I shouldn't say only, but it's a Yaradei Dikedin. It's Dina Yisr. But it's not Gezel, it's not Aino, it's not Bal Tolin, it's in Chayshemish, but it's yours. In Yaradei, you have no right to it. And therefore he says, if you Mekadesh Anisha, it's Mekudeshes. So we have one machlaik is the Ritva and Taisus, machlaik is the Ritva and Rebbeinu Yeruchim, it's klar. They are two shitas. The question is how to pass in halacha l'maisa. And you'll ask me if it comes up. So I'll tell you a case in which it comes up. Someone lent someone money, and he gave him ribis tzutza. He gave him together with the with the payment, he gave him a piece of silver, a nice piece of silver, and that was their agreement. He was in the silver business, he had a business, and he lent him money. He made up that he would give him a piece of silver, and that he did. Later they realized it's Ribis Ktsutsa, and Reuven wanted it back. And Shimon said, it's true, I took Ribis. It's true, I have to pay you back. But I don't want to give you the piece of silver. I'll give you its value. Whatever it's worth, I'll give you. The thing that I got, I like, or my wife likes, probably. And I don't want to give it back. So this Shaila is Talui in Achakira. If taking Ribis is a type of Gzela, is a Chayshe Mishpatik Adin, then it's not yours. It's his. If on the other hand, it's Dina Yisav Heter, it's not Gezel, it's mine. Right now it's mine. I have a Chayv to you. We learn how paying back from the Chayv Bahem, so then I can give you the value, which should be enough to give you the value of the item. So this Shaila is in the Chavos Das, in Siman Samach Aleph, Sif Yud, Sif Katan Yud. And he paskins that you don't have to give back the object. It's enough to give back the value. Which sounds like he's paskining, well, he's certainly paskining that it's not Gezela, that it's a Yaradeya Dikadin, it's a din that you have to pay back. It's not Gezela Mamish. And that would seem to be, I guess, the psak. We have Machlekes Rishayim, and the Binyan Tzion is Mesopik, like I said in the beginning. And here we have a Chavos Das in Yaradeya, and that would seem to be the final word on the matter. However, in learning Yaradeya, I bumped into an additional Maramachim. In Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, Siv Zayin. It says the following in Shulchan Aruch. In Baal Aseis Tshuva, Me'atzmai. Somebody who had a parnasa in lending money beribis. And he comes to do Tshuva, Nakos Bezdin forces him. He comes, he's about Tshuva. Now, if he's going to start returning the ribis, he's going to go broke. So in Shulchan Aruch state, in Baal Aseis Tshuva, Me'atzmai, Lahazer a ribis, whether he has to pay back ribis. Imudavar Mesuyim, and I'll touch Dover Mesuyim in a minute. Mekablam imenu. But im einai Dover Mesuyim, you got cash. Im roiv iska yu mechiasei beribis, ein mekablam imenu, kdei lov sayach loi derech lechuva. Mechila helsei ribis, mechila after it was paid, you can't be meichel and give it. Someone owes you, you can be meichel. So im chazal ha mechayiv you, im roiv iska yu mechiasei beribis, if a bal tshuva comes and he has his livelihood was from ribis. A mekabel mimenu k'day b'tayach leishay derech lechuva. Chala mekabel mimenu ein rachachamim leichemenu. All right, that's fine. Halachin find a few places such a thing to open doors for balei tshuva. What's this dover mesuyim? Dover mesuyim, you do have to give back. What is this dover mesuyim? We have in the Gemara that a dover mesuyim in the Lashon HaGemara means something very noticeable. I told you before that if a father took ribis and died, that the child is not mechuyev to pay the ribis. That was one of the rayas, that was the ritva, one of the ritvas to rayas, that the yaradeya dikadin. Because if a father dies, he owes money by ribis, you don't have to give it back, except for a dover mesuyim. What's a dover mesuyim there in the Gemara? It's something that's very recognizable. Anybody who sees it will remember, oh, that's what the father took for ribis. What would be such a thing today? I don't know, a very expensive car. Let's say you got a very expensive car for ribis. A fancy leichter for ribis. So anybody who sees it is going to be reminded that the father got ribis. That's called davar mesuyim. It's a bezayin for the father. So there else, kibbut ave'ein, the son is supposed to return it. As I state in the Gemara. So in the Gemara, Dover Mesuyim means an unusual item, an unusual thing. What about here? So here we have a Machlaikis, and Tali in this Machlaikis, I think, is our Chakira. when the Shulchan Aruch says a davar mesuyim you have to give back, shteit nishach, sivkot yir aleph, b'shem deprisha, lav davka, ela kol davar shu be'en, k'maisha gozloi, even uses the lashon k'maisha gozloi. He says that when this Baal Tshuva has an item that he took be'en, it's still there, the item he took. It doesn't have to be a fancy car. It could be a ballpoint pen. If the thing is there, you have to give it back. What's pshat in this prisha, pashtus, is like stealing. If you hold the chayshim mishpat kedin, so if I took your pen, it's still your pen. If I took a beribis, it's still your pen. So that the Baal Tshuva still has to give back if it's be'en, because it's his item. Not a chayiv, it's an item. As they state in prisha. Maybe it helps him with the tshuva, because for him, okay, could be, but I'll show you that that's not the way the Shach himself learned the prisha. Those of you who learn Yeridaya know that the Nekudas HaKesef has Hagois usually on the Taz. This is a highly unusual. Nekudas HaKesef, which is written by the Shach and the Shach's son, has a Hagoa on the Shach. In the Shach, he brings this prisha. Again, it's about tshuva, doing tshuva. And Chazal patted him from returning things. The prisha says, accept the Dover Ben. On that, in the Kudas HaKesef writes that first the beginning is confused. He says, Yesh Kantos Bitfus, Sivkotin Zet Tzarchloim Elakam on Siv Zayin. The prince has fixed it already. So by us, it is on Siv Zayin. Well, actually, it's on Sivvav, I'm sorry. It belongs on Siv Zayin. But anyway, that part of it is not my point. But he writes about the prisha. Mashma divrei prisha gufei the dafka nokat dover mesuyim. Says it's not true. In the prisha, it's mashma mesuyim is dafka. If he has daiti, he says the following. It's a bit of an arichus, but I'm reaching you the last words, and you'll see right away what he says. He says that you can't compare ribbis to gzeila. Yeshlechalek ben gzeila l'ribbis. He says you can't compare gzeila to ribbis. V'adam chalek ha-gemara perka gozal eitzim, etc. He goes on a gemara. He brings it. And then he ends off. Tamadavar, the ribbis, kivin the bol liyadei midas haloi va'atznai. Since ribbis, the person gave you willingly. Ein l'kabel mimenu. Ela b'davar mesuyim. Hashem kein b'gzeila. Therefore, from a Baal Tshuva, you shouldn't take it back, only if it's a Dover Mesuyim. Masha'en came big Zayla, which means he's saying the following. The Prisha, the way it's brought in the Shach, holds that if you took Beribis, this Baal Tshuva, took any item Beribis, any item you have to give back. And the Pashto says, he says, Kamay big Zayla. And that's the way the Shach, the Nekudas HaKesef learns up the Shita. He learns the Shita, it's Kamay big Zayla, like in a Geizel Eitzin. Which means he holds it's a Chayshim Ishbetikadim. And on that, the Nekudas HaKesef, it's not signed. Sometimes it says if it's from the Shach himself or from his son. I don't know who wrote this Nekudas HaKesef, but either the Shach or his son, either one is good enough for me. He says, no, it's not like Gezeila. Gezeila you took from someone against his will. So Gezeila, even about Shuvah, has to give back if it's bad. Masha'en kein ribis, which he gave midas. Once he gave it midas, so that you don't have to give back, except the Dover Mesuyim, which he learns is only the Gemara's Dover Mesuyim, an unusual item that's considered Chal Hashem, everyone sees it, but otherwise not. Kitzu Devarenu. We said that it's a Machlaikis, Rishainim, if someone who took Ribbis is holding someone else's money, I call a Chayshim Ishpat Tekedin, or if he's holding his money and he has a mitzvah to give it back, what we call a Yeridei Adikedin. We saw that it's a Machlaikis first, Taisis and the Ritva, here on Daf Samach Aleph. The Machlokes, the Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Ritva there in Kedushin Davav. Ritva Shita is that it's the Yeridei Adikadin. And Taisvis, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, also Chayshim Mishpatikadin. The Prisha seems to agree that it's a Chayshim Mishpatikadin. Nekudas HaKesef says it's not like Gezeila. And we have a Chavis Das who says it's not like Gezeila. And it seems that in the Paiskim Achrayinim, Ruba de Ruba seem to go with such a Mahalach that it's not a Chayshim Mishpat Dikadin, it's a Yeridei Dikadin, with one exception, which I'll still get to. But I would think that most of those who learn these in Yanim would hold that way. There's Navni Meluim in in Simil Chav Ches also talks about if Mekudeshes. He also says Mekudeshes, which means Yelzi Haradei Adikadim. And that seems to be the general consensus in the Paiskim. Now you will immediately have a problem with the Gemara in the beginning of the Perek on Samach Aleph Amid Beis. As I started to say earlier, the Gemara asks why you need an Issa Gezela for separate psukim that you're not allowed to steal, and separate psukim that you're not allowed to be over on Einoa, and separate pasuk you're not allowed to be over on Ribbis. So the question is, Ribbis, what do you mean Ribbis? Ribbis is something totally different. It's not a Gezela Dikadin. So, all right, you'll have a few Gemaras. It'll be raised one way or the other way. You'll have to answer it. You look in the Ritva, maybe. But Lamaisa Kachay Madvarim. Now, there's one area in Halacha Lamaisa where it appears it's totally in this, not so close. In Machna Ephraim, in Hilchis in Dine Ribis Eis Gimel, and this is a case that comes up. Unfortunately, there are common Ribbis problems in our community. Baruch Hashem, our Olam knows that you're not allowed to lend money by Ribbis or borrow money by Ribbis. However, the people are unawares. Most common shaila, people who lend credit cards to other people, and the borrower of the credit card uses the credit card and pays the interest directly to the bank or the credit card company, and the person lending the card feels he's not doing anything wrong. I'm giving him the credit card. He's borrowing, he's paying, it has nothing to do with me. And there's no chalukei deis on this issue. It's clear not that way. The bank is lending the credit card holder. The bank is not lending anybody else. The credit card holder, by giving his credit card to someone else, is lending money to him. He's just giving him a note to go to the bank and borrow in his name. But it's a problem. It happens with mortgages.
He's not benefiting anything from it.
He's benefiting. If I lend you $100, I say, pay me back the $100. Don't give me any ribbis. Just pay my gas bill. So that's cool that you're paying me back. If I say, I'll lend you $100, give me $100, just pay my credit card bill, my credit card interest bill, you're also paying me back. I owe money to the bank, and you're settling my debt to the bank.
He pays it on time.
If he pays on time, there's no interest and there's no issue. And it may be that if he makes an obligation to pay on time, and he doesn't pay on time, he may have a din of a gazlan, not a borrower of a ribbis, in which case he'd be allowed to pay. Because if you make up with someone, you arrange with him, he has to pay on time, you're not winking at each other and pretending you're serious, then everything would change. But otherwise it's a problem. What?
It's...
Right, so there's no problem. It'll be it's not ribbis at all. You didn't authorize him.
No, but if you did pay, it seems like it's still on the ribbis.
Well, if he did pay, in which case?
In a case where
he made up to pay on time.
Yeah.
If you didn't make up to pay on time, then it's ribbis tzutzah. Now, if I lend someone ribbis, I lend someone money. I say, if you pay me right away, within 30 days, no charge. If you pay me later, you have to pay interest. That's ribbis tzutzah. That maybe tzad echad beribis you'll have later in the Gemara. What? Right, so it doesn't matter. If I owe money to the bank and you pay my debt, you're giving me money. Right? It's considered my income. If I would work for a company and tell the company, I don't want to earn anything, just pay my bills. So Uncle Sam would say that I'm being paid. If you pay my bills, you're paying me. If he has to pay on time, I agree. If you make up with him seriously that he'll pay on time, and then he's the one who's negligent, then he's a mazik, he's a garmi, and he's chayav to pay, 100%. It also happens with mortgages. People aren't aware they have children who want to buy a house. The parent takes out the mortgage, the house is on the parent's name, but it's a child's house. People tell me, no, it's on my name. I ask them if Lachem may have asked them, they want their children to divide the house. Say, no, it's for him. Pashtus, it's the child's house. And if you take out a mortgage, or if you have already done so, you don't have to stand up now, but it has to be straightened out, it has to be done kadasu kadin. And this is something I'm busy with very often. What's the issue? And the following issue has to do with our Chakira. Someone comes to me, he says, you know, 3 years ago I did this, either with a credit card or I did it with a mortgage, and I've been paying interest, he didn't pay the whole thing, it's a mortgage, he plans to pay over 25 or 30 years. But I've been paying. So Shiloh is the following Shiloh. Let's say 2 years have passed. It was a $200,000 mortgage, Halavai, and he paid over the years, let's say he paid $2,000 a month, he paid $24,000. What is the status of the loan between the father and the son? I say son, just Bahaiva. There's the mortgage holder, and the person who owns the home. So what happened? Let's say it was me. I took out a mortgage, and it's my son's house. The bank lent me money. I essentially lent my son the money, because I gave him the house. He hasn't paid me for it yet. I didn't give it to him as a gift. I want him to pay. And I paid $24,000. This says he's paid $24,000 of my payments. Now, of those $24,000, the bank tells me $4,000 was principal and $20,000 was interest. That was the interest. How does Halacha look at it? Is the pshat that the son paid me $20,000 of ribbis? I was over on ribbis, I didn't know. And $4,000 of principal, he still owes me $196,000, plus $20,000 interest. And I told you, once you already paid ribbis ksutza, you're allowed to be Michael. So he'll be Michael, and now we have an issue, I'm out, nothing. Right now, I'll straighten it out, Makana Laba. I owe the bank $196,000, my son owes me $196,000, the 20 of ribbis, he was Michael. And now, Mekana Abba will redress it with the Hetiska, however we'll do it. Ramesha says it's not true. And this is what the Mechna Frank talks about, the Andine Ribbis Ais Gimel. Ramesha says that, and this agrees in the Igros Moshe, he has a section on the Hilchus Ribbis, and I think it's Chelek Vav of the Igros Moshe, on Simen Kuf Samach Aleph Ais Chav Hei. He says it's not true. It's not possible to pay interest until you pay principal. It's impossible. Let's say I lend you $10,000. And I don't know how long. I lend you $10,000. I tell you, you've got to pay me $100 a month interest. You pay me the principal whenever you want. A year goes by, you give me $100 every month. You give me $1,200. Now I have to see Ray Rivers. So I say, well, you still owe me $10,000. You pay me interest. Ramesha says no. It's not possible to pay interest until you pay the keren. Let's say we would stop right here. I would go to Shemayim. Rabbi Shalom would say, you took interest. I say, what kind of interest? I gave him $10,000. I got back $1,200. That's ribbis. It's not ribbis. So Rabbi Shalom on that the payments that were made are always counted against the keren. Always counted against the keren. Halacha l'maisa in what? Well, Ramosha refers you to the Machtafrayim. Machtafrayim writes this lashon, Loikona Haribis. Now, that's why I say this might be totally in our original Chakira. Our original Chakira was when someone gives you ribis, it's like Chayshim Mishpat. And you only have Kinyani Gazel on it. You don't have real Kinyanim on it. It's not really yours. Or is it a Yeridea Dikadin? And if it's the Yeridei Dikadim, it's mine, just that mitzvah to pay you back. The Machne Ephraim, at least, Nemzon, seems to be holding that this is a Chayshim Mishpat Dikadim. That rather, he says, Lakona HaRibis, a Chayshim Mishpat Dikadim. Then when I got the $1,200, I never got it. Lakona HaRibis. So it comes out that you owe me money. The Torah's Ribis, I'm not claiming it. So why? How am I claiming it? I'm claiming it as a Debederach Piroim. That appears in the Machne Ephraim. Ramesha, though, says it al pisvara. Ramesha says it al pisvara that you can't pay, it doesn't make sense to pay ribbis until you paid interest, until you paid principal.
There's such a concept as ribbis mukdemes, right? Even before the loan.
Ribbis mukdemes is a case which you have twice in the parak, at the end of the parak and near the beginning. Ribbis mukdemes is when you send somebody a gift beforehand because you plan to ask him for a loan tomorrow. So you send them flowers for Shabbos, and then you ask them the next day, to give you a loan. Ribbis Mukdemes is Ribbis Drabanan, and it's not Chayzer. There's no din that you have to pay back. And Mamela, it's not Shayata Ashayla, which wouldn't require the payment back.
That story doesn't work in the real world, because every note says specifically that it's first described to interest and then to
pay. Right. So Ramesh is saying that doesn't matter what you write. It doesn't matter what you write. As far as Hilchis Ribbis is concerned, if somebody borrows $10,000 and pays anything less than $10,000, he hasn't received benefit from his loan. And the Mela, that's the way it is. Akapun, this is another example of this last Nakuda may or may not be Tali. Master Ephraim holds it is Tali. I mentioned to you that I think Rav of the Paiskim Achrayim Neman that Ribbis is Eredei Dekedin, like the Sheet of the Ritva. Chafiz Das, Kudus HaKesef, and yet this Pesach of Rav Moshe, as far as I know, is ungenommen in America. Certainly, by all the Paiskim, I think I'm not sure, but I think even in Eretz Yisrael. So it may be because the two things are not totally zevizeh. What?
It wouldn't work 15 years.
Oh, that's why. When I have someone who comes very far into the loan, it causes tremendous problems. Someone chaps the mortgage case a few years into the loan. It's a halbitzara. It can be redressed. Someone who comes 10, 20 years into the loan, into a 30-year loan, is extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult to address. And I've had some very pleasant experiences and some very unpleasant experiences where people took tremendous losses when they found out it was Ribbis, and they said, Hareini Muchen. And in one case, a person who didn't have the money and lost a tremendous amount of money. And I've had cases where people on a dollar where they were very adamant. All right, yes, to know the halacha. Credit card, same thing. Calls a man, the principal. Well, it would be a problem because eventually he's going to pay, I hope, the principal and the interest, in which case it's going to be too much. You seem to have experience with people who maybe don't, and so that's not a problem. I mean, it's not a Ribbis problem, other problems with that.
But, yeah.
Right, but in practical terms it does. What do we do if a parent come to us and they have this type of situation? If it's a small difference, it can be redressed by drawing up new shtaris for the future. If it's a large difference, there's almost no way to redress it. In other words, let's say the bank loan is 5% and they realize it's a problem. And they come to us and it's a few thousand dollars off. Well, first thing you do is pay back the money. And there are two ways of dealing with that. It's not the forum to go into it. But basically, he can do a new loan under a Heta Iska for 6% and it'll end up pretty much even. But where it's a $200,000 loan and $150,000 was already paid, what are you going to do? You're going to make a new loan on 200%? That's nicker that he's doing it because of the previous Ribbis. The previous loan, it's a problem. Taking my word, in practical terms, it's a problem for the future, not a problem for the past. All right, this is the sort of the chakira, as I said in the beginning, I wanted to present to you. As you learn the parak, you may see a raya this way, a raya that way. It's a nice popula deraisa to discuss. Before, though, you begin Ezel Neshech, there are a couple of klolim which you should be familiar with and which will help you throughout. Some of the klolim are easier and you'll pick them up along the way. There's one in particular which is crucial to Inyanei Ribbis, and I'd like to share that with you, and whatever time permits, maybe give some examples and then move on. I want to tell you that when I started Hilchis Ribbis, I couldn't wait till I got to the sugya of Heter Iska. And I was learning that year Ezer Neshech in the morning and Yeridei in the afternoon. Heter Iska is nowhere in Ezer Neshech and nowhere in Yeridei. You'll tell me, really? There's no similar Heter Iska? What's going on? There's no sugya of Heter Iska. Gedolei Yisrael wrote a Heter Iska. Some people don't want to use a Heter Iska, which is a hider, but Gedolei Yisrael, Chacham Sadam wrote a Heter Iska, Prisha wrote a Heter Iska, Gedolei Yisrael wrote a Heter Iska. There's something called an Iska. Iska means investment. An investment is mentioned, although not in the very first few blad of the Perek, but as you get into the Perek, the whole middle of the Perek has a number of examples of Iskas, of business investments. Question is, how do you decide if something is an investment where you're entitled to profit, or if something's a loan. Someone comes to me, wants to borrow $1 million, he's opening a business. I tell him, look, I can't give you $1 million. Well, I can give $1 million for a number of reasons. But I tell him, I can't give you $1 million because, I make money on it in the bank. Or, no, you don't make money in the bank these days, but I want to have it. I want to make money on it. So he says, you know what, I won't give you any interest. I'll just give you a profit. My business is going to make profit. I'll give you a profit. Well, what's wrong with that? I'm an investor. And it sounds like a good deal. Let's even say I'm willing to say, okay, if there's no profit, you don't have to give me profit. But if there's profit, you give me profit, and that's the deal. There's a problem with this. In Lashon HaMishnah, this is called Tzayim Barazel. And let me explain. The difference between an investment and a loan is one word. Liability or risk. There has to be a possibility of loss for something to be an investment. And the possibility of loss, percentage-wise, has to be equal to the possibility of profit. Which means if I'm a 50% profit partner, I have to be a 50% loss partner. I have to be a partner, and I have to be a partner in the potential for loss for the money. And without that, I'm not a partner. Now this, if you'll be in tune to it, comes up a number of places in the Perek. A Mekablin, there's a Mishnah on Ayin Amid Beis. A Mekablin Tzayin Barzel Miyisrael Neshu Ribis. What is Tzayin Barzel? Rashi says, Kol Achrayis on the Chosim Ala Mekabel. All liability is on the person receiving the money. That means that Ribis is any time that the potential, it's a loan, the definition of a loan is where my principal is guaranteed. Or you have it on Salma Ches a little earlier. There's a case where a person, it's a regular case. A person opening a store in Coney Island Avenue, a Chenveni. He has no cash. I'll be the silent partner. I'll put in the cash. He runs the business and we split. Well, it's very nice to split. That's Moshim and Chenveni Lamachtzeschar. There are two conditions. First of all, I have to get Machtzes if there's a loss. And there the Mishnah talks, in addition, I have to pay him for his work. Why is he working? If it's a 50-50 partnership, I'm lending him half the money, I'm investing half the money. The half that he makes profit and loss on is a loan to him. The other half is mine. And why is he working for free? So the Mishnah says that he has to be compensated for his work. There's a kula there that if you pay up front, you can give him even a small amount of money. Those of you who have seen the Hetisk know there's a $1 payment for Tircha. It's based on that Mishnah, on Taisus there, that there's a small Taisus, the LMK Nisenlai. Taisus says that you don't have to give the full price of a pile bottle. You can give a small amount. But at any rate, the point is that the definition of a loan is when there's no chance of liability. The definition of an investment is where a person can gain or lose. Investments can go up and go down.
But
what?
People have an advantage of having losses. He's willing to take
people
because he has a tax advantage. The other person doesn't have a tax advantage. So therefore, that's instead of him getting the losses, he's paying for the losses, giving him a profit. He's paying for the losses.
If whatever the case is, if it's not something a person does for the loan, he does without the loan, then it's okay. If he would not do it without the loan, you can buy a loss, but you can't. Okay, so then I can't get into the problem of now. It would depend, like most things in Hilchos Rivas. Paying of his work is where the liability is split and the profit is split. So that's fine. In addition, the Mishnah says he has to pay for his work. Otherwise, the work is ribbis. Why is he working for the company? What? You can't be Michael lechatchila. That's ribbis. Every ribbis is Michael. Everybody gives ribbis is Michael the money, but you're not doing lechatchila. A dollar is enough only if you pay ahead of time. And not if you pay later. People think a dime is enough. It's not so posh. It says a shechar. What? Okay, let me, you want to know how this works, I'll explain it, but the questions I have to take later because we've gone for hours. The basic mechanism of a heta iska is the following goal. The goal of a heta iska is, I'm investing $1 million with you, I don't want to take losses. I want to take profits. There's a problem, Torah doesn't let me. So I tell you, okay, listen, I'm willing to take losses, I want to take the minimum amount of losses the Torah allows. Tell me, what is the minimum amount of exposure I have to have on this loan? A heta iska was the result, it evolved, of deals that were made that limited the exposure of the investor until it came to the way it is today. The way a heta iska works today is that if I'm a silent partner and you're opening up a business, I'm investing with you, the heta iska states that I get half the profits, whatever they may be. There are two crucial components. One is, the heta iska says there's an assumed profit rate of, let's say, 5%. There has to be a possible rate. You can't put in a rate which is not possible. Let's say it assumes a rate of 5%, and therefore you're going to send me a check every month for 5%. If the profits don't equal that, you don't have to give me the 5%. But you have to swear, a shvuach hamur em bezdin, that the profits were different. Most people are comfortable with it from Yid. He'll just send them the 5%, not go swear a shvuach hamur em bezdin. The second part of the heta iska says that if there are losses, if you come and tell me there are losses, I don't have to trust you. You have to bring two edim that there were losses, and if they'll say edis and bezdin, and bezdin will accept their edis, I'll take the losses. Again, in a typical case, it's possible he'll bring edim, and I'll have to take the loss. But my exposure is limited, especially if I trust him that he doesn't intend to do it. And in that case, I'm allowed to go with the assumed profit. Now, there is one catch. You cannot use a heta iska if you know there were losses. Let's say you invested with somebody and he opened up a GM dealership. And you know that there's no way he made money. You know he lost money. The heta iska won't work. As a matter of fact, I tell people when they're doing a heta iska to not know the business. And let's say they do know the business. I'm investing, they know exactly what they're investing in. I tell them, okay, do the iska with a different business this guy has. Find a different business he has, do it with something you don't know anything about. And the lashinus of most heta iskas are that way. There's some lashinus that put in the specific business, most of them don't. Because again, the idea of the heta iska is to limit exposure. As I said, I don't want to get into it. If you want questions on the heta iska, I'll deal with later. There's basically the lumdis of heta iska, not the halacha lemaisa. The lumdis is, this is one yisoid which you have to have for the perek. The difference between a loan and an investment is exposure, is liability. If there's no liability, that's a loan. A loan, the guy may go fly the coop. But I have no exposure. If he's honest, I have zero exposure. He's going to pay me back. He may not have money. I'll have to wait. But he's going
to
pay me back. That's a loan.
And
he can't do a heta iska with a poor person who has no business. No, he cannot do a heta iska with somebody who has no business. He's a salaried worker or he's a laid off worker. He has no business, no home, no investment at all. You can't do a heta iska. Ramesh writes, a heta iska is not a kameya. That you wave it at the ribbis and poof, it goes away. And the Rashi writes that a person has to understand the heta iska really in order to use it.
Now, when you're lending on a personal liability, but if it's a corporation,
that's a separate issue. Ramesh, as you may know, holds that there's no liability, that when there's no personal liability, there's no issur ribbis l'chlal on the part of the loiva. Doesn't matter who the malva is, depends who the loiva is. If the loiva is a corporation, Rabbi Shlomo, there's no issur at all. And there's a mashmois like that from a Gemara, not in this Masechta, but in Gittin. Chavtes, I think it is. There's a mashmois like that. They're pretty klara Gemara that way. And there's a Trubus of Rivash who says it before Rabbi Shlomo. The Gedolei Eretz Yisrael are very misnagged to this psak. And Chlukideus, I'm not going to tell you how to be naig. In America, most of the paiskim, certainly at least in Yeshiva Velt, go with Ramesh Shita, then it's mutter, but only if the loiva is a corporation. Those, if you want to put deposits into banks that are owned by Jews, according to Ramesh, there's no issue because the loiva is the bank, there's no personal guarantee. On the other hand, if you want to take a mortgage from a bank that's owned by Jews, there you have to have a proper heter iska, and they have to be serious about the heter iska. They're from Yidden, you can believe they're serious. It's a Freie Yidden. Emigrant Bank and Apple Bank are owned by Freie Yidden. And it's taking a mortgage from them or a loan from them is very much an issue, although one of the emigrant's owner's sons, who now inherited, became a Baal Tshuva. So he approached me, his son approached me. He says they can't seem to get a het iska that passes the lawyers for Emigrant Bank. And I said, spoke to him for a while, but it's a... Hopefully all three become Baal Tshuva, and then we'll redress the issue.
How can a mortgage work with the risk of actually the person with the business?
What? What was the question?
The house appreciates.
No, the heter iska is drawn on a business. Drawn on a business or sport. So then I can only invest on the assumption the value of the house will go up, which until recently was a safe assumption.
So we can't get into
business. Yeah, any investment, anything that can go up that you're a partner in. The house is an investment. Let me tell you an interesting story that took place. It goes back about a dozen years. Two fellows came to me. And Maisa Shoya Kachaya, somebody had a good investment. And he went to his accountant. He told his accountant, I need $1 million quick. It's a good investment. They told me what it was. I don't want to describe it because it was a highly unusual case. And I don't want to expose it. I don't want to tell you who it was. But it doesn't matter. This fellow went to his accountant. He said, find me an investor. I need the money. The accountant called Reuven. Happens to be a friend of mine from years ago, from Yeshiva. He said, Reuven, I need $1 million. I have a good investment for you. Now, Reuven Grada doesn't have the money. It's his father's money. He said, I'll speak to my father. He went to his father, and he told him it was a very extremely high expected profit of a very high percentage rate, and the father said, I'll do it, I want a personal guarantee on the principal. And the fellow guaranteed the principal, and he took the loan. Now, when they came to me, it was Lachar HaMaisa. They had purchased whatever it was, and a year and a half had passed by, and they turned it over very successfully. And if I recall correctly, at issue was roughly $400,000. And this fellow told me, I have $400,000, I want to give it to him, I don't want to hold it, but my understanding is it's ribbis. Because I guarantee the principal, knowing that that makes it ribbis. If there's no potential of loss, then that's not an investment, it's a loan. And I asked them why they were coming to me. They lived in a chasheva yeshivisha community in New Jersey. I told you, I have plenty of Rabbanim there. So I thought they'll say, because you know the best. No, no. They said, we went to all the Rabbanim, Ray. We're running around trying to find someone who'll find a heter. No one can find a heter for me. And he said, I want to give it to him. I feel terrible. And the other fellow said, my father's going to kill me. You know, $400,000. Is he a Rapeish or Yid? Is that a Chayid? But what does he know from Dine Ribbis? So I told him, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a heter. It's not something that is used very often. It's a loophole. And you have to go back to your Rabbanim and ask them if you want to use it. There's something called Hetera Derashi. It's a fascinating Heter, which there's a tremendous tumult over the Lomdis. The Rashi is not in Pirish Rashi, it's in the Mardechai B'Shem Rashi, and it's a Ramah. Listen to this Ramah. The Ramah is in Simukov Samach, Siftez Zayin, Yeshayimrim. The mutali Yisrael, loyma lachavera Yisrael, leich v'halvali mois mepleini Yisrael beribis. What does that mean? Listen carefully. Rashi says, Reuven, tell Shimon, look, I'm not a borrower beribis, but I need money. You go, b'meshliach, go to Levi and borrow beribis, and give me the money, and I'll give you the money to pay him back. How could that be mutter? How could that be mutter? He says, why is it mutter? Umutter losis achakacha ribis l'shliach lahevi loy. The loyas retaira el ribis haba miad loy v'liad malvim. The Torah only asks for a loiver to pay a malva. Vashliach eini oisa shum iser dehei ribis lavdi dei. He's not paying his own money. Vimushum shushluchai kodam kamaisai ein shliach ledvar aveira. What's going on? What's happening wrong? There's ein shliach ledvar aveira. So when Reuven says Shimon to borrow from Levi, Shimon doesn't have a din of the shliach of Reuven. So Be'etzem, Reuven doesn't owe any money. So now he gets the money. He pays the ribbis. He says, except you have to be careful. Shimon shouldn't pay the ribbis. Reuven should give the money to Shimon to pay Levi. He's giving Reuven's money to Levi. So the Meila Rashi says there's no, it's mutar lechatchila even to do it in the first place. The Ramah says on this heter that ein lefarsim hadavar b'fnei am ha'aretz. V'chein ikar af agav sheish mefakfikin behetezu. Some Sefer says, "Grade mitzvah lefarsim." Some Sefer writes on this: it's a mitzvah lefarsim because people do it for Isser. Let them better do it for Hatter.
So,
what? Difference between the credit card is that the bank is not lending him the money. The bank doesn't know his name. The bank is lending me the money. Just the bank gave me a key to get to the money. I'm giving him the key to get to the money, which is the credit card.
But the
here, the third party is lending it to Shimon. Reuven says Shimon to Levi. Levi's lending it to Shimon. In his mind, he's lending it to Reuven. But ain't shlech d'var aveira. So there's no loan to Reuven. There's no loan bechlal to Reuven. The loan is to Shimon. There's Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Shimon's the shliach, but he doesn't have a din shliach. What? So that's what I told them. I told them in your case there were two shluchim. There was the accountant and there was the son with the father's money. So this is what I suggest. I told them to go back to their, they had in their contract a certain rav that they used. They went back to him with the hefter, and I don't know what the end of the whole story was, but they did call me back and they said that this rav says we're not knowing like Rashi. So that we're not knowing like Rashi. L'chatchila we're not knowing like Rashi, but it's a Ramah. The Chabas Das is mefakfek on it. There are shtaka kashas on this hetera derashi, but it's just agav a fascinating yediyah to have. The credit card company is a problem. The credit company is not giving money to the shliach. We'll talk about it. It's just a little complicated. I just want an ending. Hold on a second. One second. It was a Hamish alone. It was a. Hold on a second. What? End with a drush. This is all drush. What's that drush? I do want to tell you, those of you who are starting the perek. Rashi right in the beginning of the Perek says that Ribis Derech Mekach Umemkar is a Drabanan. A lot of the Ribis that you have in the Perek is Ribis Drabanan, which has different levels of Chaimer. The issue, the first Mishnah, your first 10 lines of Gemara are extremely discouraging. That the hardest part of Perek is El Neshech. And many a soul have begun and quit. Ravina Ravashi, in their kindness, followed that first piece of Gemara with the daf of easy Gemara, daf and af of easy Gemara, and he interspersed easy Gemaras throughout hard Gemaras. Now, just to understand the first Mishnah, I just want you to know that the issues which the Perek deals with in the beginning have to do with prepayment, paying for something ahead of time, which is really a loan, in order to secure either a guaranteed rate, a guaranteed price, either the price is going to change, or to secure a discount. Either way, a prepayment for something, for future delivery, has a din of ribis. And that issue, what? Good. And that is the issue with which the Perek begins, pretty much. And the first part of the Perek discusses in various cases. And it's ribis, except by yeshlai, which you have in the first Mishnah. Now, just to make it easier for you, you're going to start it when the daf starts tomorrow or the next day. I'll just give you an example. When I worked at Art Scroll for I forget how many years, when the Art Scroll Shas began, the second Masech that I put out was Erevin, which at that time I worked there from Shavuos to Elul for a few summers. And one of the issues they had was prepayment for as of yet unprinted book. They don't do it much now, but there was a desire to raise capital. And I remember when they put out the Siddur, if you pre-ordered, you got a discount. You got a guaranteed cheap price. I think it was $10. I remember. I don't know what the list price was, but they allowed. They set it up that if you order ahead of time, obviously for one Siddur, no one's going to do it. But there were institutions, shuls, and for prepayment, they gave a cheaper price. And the problem is that's rivers. The Eitzah, which was given then, is an Eitzah called Yeshlai, which is in the Mishnah. Yeshlai means if I have it, I have it at home. If you give me the money now, you can pick it up in a week. That Yeshlai is Mutter. It's Ribbis D'Rabbanan. And Rashi's Lashon throughout the parak is Ki'ilu Yekainit, even though Kesev is not Kainit. It's Ki'ilu Yekainit, and the Mele, it's not so Melzi Keribis, it's Mutter. So I believe what they did, if I recall correctly, is the deadline for the prepayment included a couple of days in which it was Yeshlai, in which it was already published. Let's say it was going to be printed on January 10th. So the deadline for the prepayment discount was January 15th. The Mela, if you ordered it the 10th or 11th, it was Mutter, because it was Yeshlai. So you weren't getting a bigger discount for paying even earlier. It's the same discount that you pay when they have it. And that's a Heter. I mentioned this case, just a picture for you. You should understand the concept of a prepayment. The question of how yeshivas do it, camps do it, it's not really Yeshlai. I always tell people never to paskan halachas from English books that are put out, with one exception. There's an excellent book with a green cover, and there's an interesting exception to this, and that is also a Mishnah later in the Perek, that this only applies to buying merchandise. A kablon, somebody who's a contractor, or even a sachir, is allowed to give a discount for prepayment. One of the rabbonim here in Flappish called me. There's a cleaners, must be in the Nostrand Avenue area, who tells people that if when you bring in your clothing for cleaning, you pay up front, he gives you a discount. So he asked me if that's mutter. And it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Maisifan ala schar, ei maisifan ala mecher. Again, the lumdis now is not the time for it, but this halacha applies only to merchandise. When a person gets paid for his work, such as a cleaner, or if you consider a camp to be a discount, a kablon, the kablon means someone who puts together, you're not paying for food, you're paying for a counselor and a waiter and food and other things, then there is no isser in the case of the prepayment. The reasonable wait, I guess, when you get to the Mishnah of Maisif and Al-Askar. So I tried to share with you these two yediyas, the one a little barichus, the liability defines loan as opposed to investment, and this idea of prepayment, to understand the difference between prepayment for merchandise or for other types of work. Hilchus Ribbis is a very challenging parak. You have to learn it, you have to go over it, and don't worry, as soon as it seems discouraging, Ravina Ravashi stuck in a daf of easier Gemara, and it seems to go back and forth between them. A good tovach, everybody, and a good summer.